So happy anniversary, Oak River Church. Woo! 13 years. 13 years, can you believe it? It's amazing. And whether you've been here one day or 13 years, you are highly valued and loved, and we are happy you're here. And we have a little gift for you on our anniversary. In this basket, you will find a Mitchell's gift card for $5. Oh, yeah. One per family, please. One per family. But here's the fun part. Listen to this. So some of these have $20 bills tucked inside, right? And if you get one with a $20 bill, here's your chore. Now, here's your task. Here's your joy, I should say. Here's, you get to find a way to bless someone else with that $20 bill. You get to give it away to somebody. And you can ask God who that can be. If your family, you as a family, you talk about it and you decide you want to add a little bit to it, then you can do that too. That's all right. That's permissible. But we just thought it'd be fun because we've always been a church about loving God and loving others. So we thought it'd be fun to tuck some $20 bills in there and just see which families get to bless someone else. It can be something simple. I met someone at McDonald's a few weeks ago. I know I shouldn't go there, but I did for breakfast one morning. And I know, bad, bad, bad. Shame on me, right? But I enjoyed it, I will say. So I'm sorry, I didn't feel much shame. I actually enjoyed it. And so, because I'm free, you know. I don't go often, it's really rare. But I met this girl there, she was so cute. What was her name? Golden, her name was Golden. I still think of her and pray for her because I met her and she gave me one of those things that had the peel off prize, you know, you can win a prize. I go, did you give me a winner? She said, if I did, you come back and remember me, okay? I said, I will. I know it wasn't a winner, but shock. But I still think of her. So maybe you want to take your $20 bill and just bless somebody like that randomly. But talk about it as a family and decide we're just going to pass this around, take one and pass it around. One per family, please. And enjoy that. Have fun with that because Mitchell's rocks. How many of you have not been to Mitchell's yet? Oh, you have to go. If you like ice cream, they have the best key lime pie ice cream. Oh, yeah, with graham cracker chunks in there. It's sinfully delicious. What's your favorite, Rhonda? You told me it was some kind of yogurt. Oh, vegan? Vegan chocolate chunk. There's something for everyone. Yep, she likes that one. So there's all kinds of good flavors there. What's your favorite kind? Blue Cosmo. Yeah, I've never had that one, but I bet it's good. It sounds good. Awesome. So happy anniversary. Enjoy the gift cards and enjoy the $20 bills you get to give away to somebody and bless somebody with. That's just fun. I thought after that testimony last week of people giving money away, giving oil changes away, you know, Chris and I talked about it. It was her idea, actually. I was like, that is a great idea. Let's let people get in on the act of giving. So today we're going to talk about a message. We're finishing up our series on Know the Power. And this message today is called Filled. Have you ever heard the phrase? I don't know if it's something up north or if it's just a southern thing, but have you ever heard the phrase, oh, he's just full of it? Have you ever heard that? Oh, that's a northern thing too? Okay. She's just full of it. Right? Right? I know. He's full of it and she's full of it too, I think. But have you ever asked yourself the question, what are they full of? He's just full of it. She's just full of it, right? I mean, it can mean a lot of different things. It can mean he's full of himself or she's full of herself. It can mean they're full of baloney, a better word than the alternative. You know, it's family worship Sunday. I mean, it could mean a lot of different things. So I guess the question is, what are you full of? What are you full of today? Have you ever gone grocery shopping when you were hungry? Not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do, because you walk down all the wrong aisles and you find yourself putting things in the cart that you would not ever normally put in your cart because you're hungry, right? Today, it was so funny. I was checking Twitter this morning and I came across this tweet. I'm like, that goes so well with my message So I'm just going to share it with you because it's just fun to. Ron Carpenter says this, you can't be tempted where you are full. You can only be tempted where you are empty. And you think about it. You think about it. Have you ever had a really, really, really good meal at a restaurant and you are completely and utterly satisfied? And then they bring around the dessert cart? Usually, if I've had a really good meal and I'm completely satisfied, that dessert cart doesn't tempt me. And I love my sweets. I'm a sweets person. I like sweets. But that dessert cart doesn't tempt me. But if I'm still hungry, or if I ate something that just made me crave a little bit of chocolate and then I see that right in front of me, then I'm tempted to have dessert. And I think it's interesting that we're only tempted where we're empty, not where we're full. So we're going to talk about being full today, being filled. And the first point I want to talk about is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Most of you know in Acts 2, Jesus promised his followers that if they would go into Jerusalem and wait, that he would send the Holy Spirit. And when they did, it's interesting though to think about, because over 500 people saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. But how many were in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit? You can answer. 120. There were 120. I should have given away a prize for that one because nobody knew it. I thought everybody would know it. There were 120. I don't know what happened to the remainder. I really don't know what happened to the rest of them. It's interesting. But the ones who did what he said, they were in for an experience that was an experience of a lifetime. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. Within 1 year, this passage we're going to read today talks about what happened after that. Okay, so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. They got boldness to speak the truth. Amazing, amazing stories. You read it in Acts 1 and 2, you'll find it. But in Acts 6, which is still within a year, we see that part of being filled with the Holy Spirit is also being filled with wisdom. It says this in Acts 6, 1 through 4, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Now, does anybody find that interesting? That the church is explosively growing. The Holy Spirit has filled every believer, and there's people getting saved every single day, it says in Acts 2:42. Every single day, people were getting saved and being added to their numbers. They had good fellowship going on. They were having meals in their homes together. I mean, you would think there would be no discontent, right? But right here it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. I don't know, that just makes me feel better when we have some stuff that happens because it's normal. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that's the 12 apostles, called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Holy Spirit, are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. I find it interesting that even within a year of the Holy Spirit originally being poured out, they still had to specify, we're looking for men who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So that implies that not everybody was. I don't know about you, but I have discovered in my walk with the Lord that I get filled and then somewhere along the way I leak. Does anybody else leak? I don't know. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes I'm like, wait, I thought I was full. What happened? You know, I'm leaking right now because I don't feel very full of the Holy Spirit. But here, they were looking for men. Now, this was for men to run the food program. This wasn't men to preach. This was men who were running a food program. What does that tell you? Any act of service you do in the church, you're better at doing it if you're full of the Holy Spirit. You just enjoy it more. It's better for the people you're serving. It's just better all the way around. They were filled with wisdom. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're also filled with wisdom. That makes you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? It does me, because I need wisdom every single moment of every single day. I'm a mom. Need I say more? I need wisdom. But also, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, point B, you're filled with faith. You're filled with faith. In Acts 6:5, it says this: everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Wow. I love that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get wisdom, but I also love that you get faith. Because sometimes those two almost seem to disagree with each other. We tend to tell ourselves that if you're really having a lot of wisdom, then you don't have much faith. That's not true. You can have both. You don't have to choose. You can have wisdom and lots of faith. And so that's why they chose Stephen. But also, he was filled with grace and power, complete with miracles and signs. We see this in Acts 6:8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that God loves us just as much as he loved the people in Acts. So why would he not want to put himself on display through miracles and signs today when he did then? Not only that, but in scripture it says, this promise is for you and for your children and for your children's children. So it makes it clear that it's for all generations to come. It's not just for a season. Miracles and signs. Why? So that we can have a circus sideshow? No. No. So we can show people how much God loves them. That's all. Miracles and signs and wonders are to reveal the truth of who God is to people. That's why they happen. That's why they happen with Jesus. That's why they happen today. You are filled with that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the ability to have grace and power with miracles and signs. And then point D, you're filled with vision to see God. You're filled with vision to see God. Acts 7:55 says, but Stephen, now this is after he had been running the food program and he was preaching too. I love that he didn't just see himself as the food guy. You know, he still walked around preaching and teaching the truth, and he performed miracles and signs in the name of God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't just put himself into a box. He said, no, I'm all in. That's what Dave's preaching on next week, all in. So get ready. It's going to be good. And that's what Stephen did, but you know, sometimes when you're all in, you get some trouble from people, and some people didn't like Stephen and his all-in mentality, his decision to not limit himself to a, quote, food guy, and he said, I'm going for it because I believe in this. And so they got upset with him, and they decided to stone him. They decided to silence him in the only way they knew how. But at the very end of his life, it says this, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Wow. If you can be full of the Holy Spirit when you're getting stoned, that's and not stoned like in the way that, yeah, you know what I mean, right? I saw right where you were going. I could see it in your faces. If you can be full of the Holy Spirit when you're getting tortured, let's put it that way, then that's pretty impressive, right? But he gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can see into a heavenly realm that supersedes this earthly realm. You'll see, if you were one of the ones who got a $20 bill, if you pray before you give it away, you will be amazed at how you can see into the heavenly realm. You'll be amazed the way God highlights someone to you and says, do it here, do it here. You will see into the heavenly realm. That's why I just love, Dave went to a prayer meeting on Friday night. I wasn't able to go because I was feeling sick all day. But the prayer meeting was an event that they're putting together for the Republican National Convention. And the event is called Hope is Here. And they're going to have a tent set up there at the RNC. And they are going to provide on-site 24/7 worship and prayer for people, whoever wants it. Isn't that amazing? You see, somebody had an ability to see into the spiritual realm to come up with that. I'm not saying you have to be Republican to value the fact that they're doing that. Not at all. Not because there's going to be a whole lot of people who aren't Republicans at that convention. I guarantee it. But well, here's what I love, that they're offering hope. No matter what, they're offering hope. Dave said the prayer meeting was so good Friday night, right? And there's going to be more. We'll keep you posted as we hear about them. Because we need people who are so full of the Holy Spirit, they can see above the fray. They can see above the natural and into the heavenly realm. That we need it. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, or if you're torn between the two aisles or somewhere in a different aisle. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We need hope. Yes. And we need people who can see into the spiritual realm. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with wisdom, you're filled with faith, you're filled with grace and power, and you're filled with vision to see God. But also, Scripture talks about us being filled with goodness. I don't know about you, that kind of flies in the face of everything I've ever been taught in some ways. Because I've always been taught, I'm a bad sinner. You know, I'm bad, I make mistakes. Yeah, I do make mistakes, but I love that Paul in Romans says that I'm filled with goodness. He says it this way, I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. What if we looked at each other and really saw each other as being filled with goodness? What if we looked in the mirror and saw ourselves as being filled with goodness? Not because of who we are, not because of how good we are, but because we're full of God. We're full of God. That's the only way I can be good. It's when I'm full of God, because the moment I start leaking, it starts showing, because I lose my goodness. I lose my patience, you know, I get irritated easily. Yep, I do. But if I'm full of God, I'm full of goodness, because God is good. Let's just pause here. I want to ask some of you, how do you stay full of God? How do you stay full of God? Who's feeling brave? Raise your hand. How do you stay full of God? I'll bring the microphone to you so you don't have to yell it out. Now, I know you're not shy, so don't pretend to be. You're bold. You're a bold group. Tim, how do you stay full of God?
I think for me is through serving. When I serve others and I just get out of myself, I get out of my little world, and I just look to others. And of course, I can't do it myself, so that makes me turn to God, which makes me seek and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and fullness, and that's what works for me.
That's good. All right. We clap when people give an answer, okay? Just so you know. Okay, how do you stay full of God? How do you stay full of God?
Gratitude. Focusing on gratitude.
That's good. Yep, okay. Becky's fast. She's fast. All right, yeah. That's good. Gratitude. I heard this week, this is, well, I don't know if I should say it or not, because I'm going to say it anyway. Kids, just forgive me. That the language of heaven, this is the part that's easy to say, the language of heaven is gratitude and worship. The language of hell is complaining and grumbling. That was pretty powerful. Okay, who had their hand raised? How do you get full of God, heaven?
When everybody's sad, when I give them hugs like my cousin Andy.
Aw, that's good. You get full of God when you give hugs. That's good. That's good. Okay, how do you get full of God? Betty.
When I'm feeling in my own self and feeling kind of lost, I sit down and write a letter to God.
That's very good. Very good. All right. How do you get or stay full of God, Midge?
When I'm down and not feeling God that much, I put on one of our ORC worship tapes on.
Yep.
And I just dance and I praise and I worship, and then you just
you
feel,
get filled,
you
don't
get
you?
Filled and refreshed.
That's good. Yeah, our ORC worship team. Yeah, I think for me that's the way I get filled is through worship. I can be having the worst day. Everything can be going wrong. But somehow, when I put on worship and I start with an attitude of gratitude, I start with that praise and worship, man, I get so filled up with God. And it changes everything. Anybody else want to share? How do you get full of God? Over here, Catrice. No?
I count my blessings instead of dwelling on the negative things that are going on around me.
Yep.
And I tend to enjoy nurturing other people and helping others.
Yeah, so it's kind of a combination with what Tim said. Yeah, that's good. And Kathy, those are all really good ways. Dave, you got something to add to the conversation here? Because you always have wisdom. I like.
Well, for me, it's the daily meditation on the word this morning was, He has given us all things.
Mm.
So just to reminding myself that it's all available to me.
Yeah, that's
good. On a continual basis.
That's really good. Wow. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. It's so much better when you help me preach, really. It's just better. I like hearing from you. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with goodness. And then the third point, we can be filled with joy. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Rhonda. That was awesome. We can be filled with joy. One of my favorite things about being a Christian is I can be filled with joy. I do not go for this Christianity where you have to be down in the mouth all the time and beat up and no. We are filled with joy around here. Acts 11, 22 through 24 says this, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. That kind of goes back to what Kathy and Catrice both said, that when you see God's blessing in your life, you get filled up with God and you get filled up with joy. You just get filled up with joy. And he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. I believe if we as Christians walk in the joy that is available to us, many people will be brought to the Lord. I believe it. And sometimes, you know, I'm not going to lie, I have to fight for it. I have to contend for it sometimes. I have to remind myself that joy is available to me. I don't live in denial. I don't pretend when I'm sad that I'm not sad. I don't go around saying I'm not sad. I am not. I don't do that. But I look for reasons to be joyful. And no matter what's happening, I can always find something to be joyful about. I can always find something to be happy about. Just looking at his blessings in my life makes me joyful. It's all, I'm telling you, so much of this life is about what we look at. It's so much of it. It is such a massive key to how we live, what we see, what we choose to focus on. It's huge. And then last, this is so good too. Last point, we are filled by Christ and we are filled with Christ. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, we've used this scripture several times over the course of this month because it's all about know the power. Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Let's pause there for a second. I don't know what you imagine when you think of Christ being raised from the dead in the tomb. I don't know what you imagine it might have looked like or sounded like. But I imagine loud and light. I just imagine this big thing happening that raised Christ from the dead. I don't think it was like, and then he woke up. I don't know. I feel like it was, you know, big, big. Take that image and apply it to here. And we understand that this is the same mighty power that we have in us. We have that same power in us. Verse 21, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Woo-hoo. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Listen to this, verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So where Christ is, he's not just there, he fills it up. So if Christ is in me, he fills me up. Not because of who I am or what I do or how good I am or how many times I went to church last year or how much money I gave to the church last year. No, because wherever Christ is, he just fills me up with himself, by him and with him. That's exciting. We can be filled with Christ. We can literally be filled with Christ. I just want to be like Jesus. You are. You are because of him and his work. He fills you up by himself and with himself. One thing I've learned about God over the walk of my Christian faith is that sometimes he lets us figure out what doesn't satisfy us so we can figure out that he does satisfy us. In Isaiah, it talks about God is saying to his people, he's saying, you know, all those wells you dug for yourself to try to satisfy yourself. Well, now, because I love you so much, I'm going to stop up those wells. So you're not going to be able to go to those spots anymore because I want you to see I'm the only one who can really satisfy you. I think we all have a heart's cry for God. We all have a God-shaped hole inside of us, as one writer put it. All of us have this hunger and longing for something. And until we find God, we go, oh, I thought that was it, but it's not. I thought she was it, but she's not. I thought he was it, but he's not. I thought this activity was it, but it's not. And God says, I will fill you with myself, and you will see how satisfied and full you really are. And you will walk in a new level of wisdom and faith and might and grace and power and joy that you've never experienced before. Oh, he is so good. He's really that good. So I just pray right now, God, that you would fill all of us up with yourself. Help us to find those wells that do bring you in more and more and satisfy us. Help us to see that you are our heart's cry. You're the answer to every question we've ever had. Help us to see it and experience it and walk in it and dance in it even, and to enjoy it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Jack, it's good to see you here today. How are you doing? You're doing good. You look good. Look like you're doing well. We love you. You know you have a good church family here who loves you. And you're not alone. Okay? Okay. God bless you. Happy anniversary, Ken.